So today we'll start with the first verse. So chapter 6. Atha shashto dhyayah. Dhyana yogah. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Anashrita karma phalam. Aryan karma karoti yah.
Aryan karma karoti yah.
Sasanyasi cha yogi cha.
Sasanyasi cha yogi cha.
Na niragnir na chakriyah.
Na niragnir na chakriyah.
Together, Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Anashrita karma phalam karyan karma karoti yah sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah. Okay, Shri Bhagavan Uvach, the Lord said. So the sixth chapter does not start with a question. Some of the chapters do. The second chapter, Arjuna asks, third and fifth. Here, Bhagavan sees that Arjuna is not yet very clear on what is my path of meditation, what am I supposed to do next after this renunciation, what am I supposed to do? And also he can see that Arjuna is still confused about what is sannyas and what is yoga. These are two technical words, sannyas and yoga. Yoga does not only mean doing those physical exercises, but yoga means a lot more. So the teacher can sometimes see that the student needs more explanation because his mouth looks a little confused, his face. So the Lord himself started the sixth chapter, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. He said, Anashrita karma phalam. Karma phala means the fruit of the action. Anashrita means not depending on. So not depending on the fruit of action. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Karyam karma or karyan, whatever you can, both are correct. But karya means what is to be done. Karma, action. So the obligatory duties or essential duties that I am supposed to do. Karoti yaha. Yaha, here it means whoever that person may be. Male or female, young or old, short or tall, black or white. But yaha means whoever. That's a beautiful pronoun. So whoever that person is, if he or she does karyam karma, obligatory duties, without depending on the fruit of action. Now people will say, how can I not depend on the result? How can I not depend on the fruit? Like, for example, if we leave here now and we have lunch, after lunch you say, well, I don't have a goal in mind. I don't know where I'm going. No, we don't say that. I know where I'm going. What is my goal? What is the result? So I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. Or somebody says, I'm going to get in my car, go to the shopping mall. Or I'm going to take my kids to a birthday party. So the goal is already known. So when people think, you know, they say karma kar, karma ki chinta, phal ki chinta mat kar, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes on the internet, people, I don't know where, they'll come out with some ridiculous interpretations, and they come out like authority. First chapter says this, second, and in one page, they give all the 18 chapters, one line, and that also wrong. And they think, this is Bhagavad Gita, and people think, Bhagavad Gita aa gaya mujhe. I understood Bhagavad Gita. Are there is so much, you know, to be studied, but people come up with funny, and one time somebody sent me this very funny interpretation, which was all wrong. And then he says, now can you tell me the Sanskrit shlokas that pertain to that? So I said, first of all, the commentary is wrong. Secondly, you cannot find shlokas which you give wrong meaning. I said, this is not... First, you have to have the correct... I said, pick up the proper Bhagavad Gita. Don't think that ek page mein you will learn all the 18 chapters. Sorry, I can't do that. He actually asked me that. He said, and it was because there was this WhatsApp group and they all wanted to know. I said, sorry. So anyway, so what is karma phala? We'll talk about that. And what is the result of action and what is the goal of action? So one who does his actions, obligatory duties, without worrying about the result, anashrita, without depending on the result, he is a sannyasi cha yogi cha. So he is a sannyasi, he is a yogi. So there, sannyasi and yogi are not separate, but they are connected. And there is a slight difference which Bhagavan will talk about. He is a sannyasi, he is a yogi, or she, na nir agni, not the one who has given up fire, na cha akriya, not one who has given up actions. So Arjuna thought, what is sannyas? Don't cook. You know, because he has seen that. Sannyasis put on orange clothes, they go to the forest, they don't do anything else, they just meditate all day. Once a day they come out, you know, bhiksham dehi, they take bhiksha, they don't cook. And that's it, and that's how they... So Bhagavan says, no, that is not sannyasi. What is a sannyasi? One who does obligatory duties without worrying about the fruit, without depending on the fruit, is sannyasi. Now that is something very different from what you and I know about sannyas, right? We always think sannyas means that. Yeah, there are a few people who have done that, but majority of them, look at Swami Ishwarananji, who comes here not 2-3 times a year. How much he works. He's such a dynamic individual. I mean, if you, all of you who have met him, he's full of energy and his mind is always planning how to expand the centers, how to, you know, when he comes to Bakersfield, he gives us so many ideas, you know, when we have board meeting, and the same thing in the LA. And then he's traveling throughout the US and starting, you know, encouraging people to start new centers in Minnesota and Chicago and everywhere he goes. He's so dynamic. He's a computer, you know, programmer. So he's a sannyasi, but you don't, that's not our typical idea of sannyasi. We think sannyasi kuch nahi karta, you know, he just sits and does nothing. And Swamiji is never, you know, so, but at the same time, when he's working, he's not working for himself. His goal is higher. He's working for Gurudev, he's working for the Lord, and his goal is, through the wisdom that he has acquired, how to spread this knowledge and make it available to the maximum people. That's why the Chinmaya Mission motto is to give maximum happiness to maximum people for maximum time. That's what Gurudev did throughout his life. So what is a sannyasi? What is a yogi? One who does actions without fruit, not one who gives up fire and who gives up action. So now let us see what is ashraya, what is support. And for you and me, what is our support? Our job, or my bank balance, or my stock portfolio, or what is my support? My family, my house. So he says, for a wise person, none of them are a support. Ishwar ashraya. For him, the support is the Lord. And that is what we all have to do. That, Lord, you are my support, nothing else. Mere to giridhar gopal dusra na koi. And Lord, once you make him your support, then he says, then you make me your general manager. He says, then I manage your life. You say, you manage my life. I don't do anything. So ashraya. So make Lord your ashraya, number one. Number two, what is karma phala? Karma phala, people always think as the result. As I said, when I leave here, when I go to, you know, to the mall, that is my goal. Or when I work 40 hours and I get a paycheck, that is the karma phala. So they say that, yes, that is a temporary goal, but when they mean karma phala, what it means is that at the end of the action, I get a fruit, I get a result. Like when you plant a mango tree, you get mangoes. If you plant a bitter lemon, you'll get bitter fruit. If you plant sour lemons, you'll get sour. So the fruit depends on the action. That's number one. But when they say anashrita karma phalam, what they mean is that while doing the action, keep attention to the action. If you think that this action will give me some joy, some benefit, And that joy will complete my life and make me happy forever, then you are mistaken. Because any karma done anywhere in the world is a temporary action. Nothing is permanent, and a temporary action will not give me permanent joy. It will give me temporary joy if I have an ice cream or a slice of pizza or I buy a jewelry or a car, new car. Yes, that will give me temporary joy, but will not give me permanent, everlasting, eternal happiness. Secondly, phala, karma phala, what is the fruit? We are a fruit of our past action. So the kind of body I have, whether I am a male or a female, whether I am born in India or America, whether I am healthy or unhealthy, whether I am smart or not smart, whether I am emotional or not emotional. So my body, my mind, my intellect, everything is a karma phala, is a result of my past action. So even though I took birth from my mother's womb, but I came with my karmas, I came with my vasanas, and that is why we take birth, because we have unfulfilled karmas, unfulfilled vasanas. So our body, mind and intellect, so whether I get a sharp intellect or whether I get a dull intellect, somebody is born with Down syndrome or somebody is born with, you know, physical, cerebral palsy and all, those are all result of past karmas. You know, so again, it does not mean that, oh, this person is suffering, let him suffer. No, my job, if I can help somebody, I should help. But at the same time, we shouldn't say, why is God so unjust? You know, he's sitting up there and he's giving me, you know, giving them, my neighbor got so much and I got nothing. No, God is not giving anything. He doesn't do anything. He said, na kinchit karomi, I don't do anything. I just provide the energy. It is you who, based on your karmas, get your results. So he has given humans the freedom to choose, and he says, I don't do anything. I am just an observer. I'm like the electricity. Electricity says, I don't do anything. I just provide the energy. What you do when you plug in to me is what the result you get. So same way Bhagavan says, when you plug in to me, it's your choice whether you want a heater or a cooler, or you want a happy life or an unhappy life. Nobody does it but you alone. Talking about karma and phala, just 2-3 weeks ago, it's a true story. It's not something just very recent, about a month ago it happened. I read it about 2 weeks ago. So in New Jersey, there was this young lady who went to the restaurant. And it's a totally true story. So she went to a restaurant, and it was lunchtime, and she was having burger and fries. And, you know, they squeezed the ketchup bottle, and there was half the bottle was left. And she had no ketchup in her house. And, you know, she said, I don't have any ketchup. So she put that half bottle in her purse and walked out, and there was nobody saw it. Restaurant wouldn't even have missed it. You know, it was half a bottle. They have so many bottles. So she put the bottle in her purse and walked out. The moment she drove out, she got hit by a car. And that car hit her, and the driver ran away. And so she said, oh my God, see, I stole half a bottle of ketchup. She must have read Gita or something. She said, it's my karmas that are bad. And so she felt so bad, you know, I stole this bottle. So she goes to Walmart and she buys 2 brand new bottles of Heinz ketchup. You know, it was Heinz ketchup. And she puts them in a bag and doesn't tell anybody, leaves a note and leaves it outside the restaurant and goes away. And so at night, when the owner is locking, and the waitress, they find this bag and they open, and there's a little note, you know, I had stolen half a bottle of Heinz ketchup, but I'm replacing it with 2 new bottles because, you know, I feel so bad and my car had an accident, and so I suffered my consequences of my bad karma. So this owner put it on Facebook. You know, that, you know, it's okay, we don't miss the half, we would not even have missed the half bottle. It was so nice of you to do that. And now her car is broken, she doesn't have money to pay the deductible, and so he put it on Facebook. You know, it was such a good action, you replaced 2 bottles, you didn't have to do that, and thank you very much. And then from that Facebook, it became viral, and everybody started talking about this lady who had replaced half. And Heinz Ketchup heard about it. And they got so much publicity. Normally they spend so much money to advertise. Now millions of people are talking about Heinz ketchup. They were so happy that they found out who she was. They sent her a whole case of Heinz ketchup, and they fixed her car. They even paid her deductible. So the point is that if you look at Karma Yoga, she stole that and her car was broken, and then she replaced it with two bottles, and all these good things happened to her. So the point is that no karma gets unrewarded or gets unpunished. And the point is that that is karma phala. The result of the action is in the action itself. Now, they say that what is karma yoga, what is true karma yoga, is that you have certain duties you have been assigned. Say I'm working in a company as an accountant. So I've been assigned a job as an accountant. I've done some accounting, you know, major and all. And then I go there and I think the computer guy is not doing a very good job. So I, you know, get the codes and start answering the phone and working the computer. And then I say, you know, this management guy is not doing good, and the guy in charge of security. And so I start doing everybody's job. They'll say, sir, wait a minute. We hired you for accounting. So you'd stick to accounting. Don't interfere in everybody's business. If you have any suggestion, make it, but you cannot start doing. So similarly, you and I have a role that we have adopted in life, maybe as a mother and a father, or as a doctor, or an engineer, or a lawyer. And most important is, as a human, what is my role? What is my duty? As we said, there are empirical roles and there is the absolute role. So whatever role I have been assigned, I have to do it to the best of my ability without expecting anything. You know, they say, oh, I helped him so much, he didn't even say thank you, or he didn't even give me a cup of tea. You know, that is our standard. I went and did so much. I helped him in his house for 8 hours and he didn't even give me a cup of tea. So Gurudev says, you mean your 8 hours was just worth a cup of tea? No, you did it because it was the right thing to do. Go outside and get a cup of tea. So the point is that, or, you know, the best thing is we bring up our children. You know, we are all parents and we say, we have brought up our children. You know why? He should become a doctor. You know, that is our first thing. And if he doesn't become a doctor, I didn't get the result of my action. Or he should listen to me. That's the second one. I have brought him up. I paid for his college. Now he should listen to me. You think ever any child listens? Never. Once they become teenager, forget it. And once they go to college and graduate, they say, okay, bye, mom. Thank you very much for taking care of my education. Now I'm on. Or the third one is he should marry Indian. See, that's the third one, you know, where we are expecting that our child should do what we tell him or her. So that is, again, you're doing it for karma phala, that what did I get? Or the child should take care of me in my old age. No expectations. I did my duty. I did what was the best. I gave him right values. I taught him whatever I could. I brought him to Bal Vihar. And there my duty ends. After that, whether he lives his life, of course, when he asks for advice, you advise. When he asks for help, you guide. But to think that because I have done this, I will get something back in return, then that is called anashrita karma phalam. Then you are expecting something from this particular child. Say, God says, Gurudev says, children are not yours. They come through you. They are not my child. They are God's children, but they have just come through me. Lord has chosen me and I have done my best. After that, whatever they live. So when you don't expect, and when you do your duty, that, like, if we take care of our parents and if we do our duty towards society, the society will take care of us. God will take care of us. Children see what we do. So that's how. So that is what they say. And we already talked about the body, mind and intellect are the karma phala of my actions. Now let us see what is na niragni. So a sannyasi and a yogi is one who does his duty without expecting anything in return, does what is right and whatever his role in life is. Now what do we mean by agni or fire? So in the olden days, people did rituals. So rituals mean the householder's job was always to keep the fire burning. And then different rituals were done, you know, different rituals for different festivals, different occasions. or rituals were done for, you know, to have a child, or rituals were done for rain, you know, or the whole community would get together and pray for rain if there was a drought, or people did rituals to go to heaven, or people did, you know, rituals for all different things. May my life be good. So rituals were done for a particular desire. Rituals were done for desire, not for the highest. And that's what they say the sannyasi has given up fire. What it means is that he is not doing actions for a particular thing, like may I have a child, or may my life be good, or may I get a lot of money, or even going to heaven. Even that desire is also a temporary desire, because as we know, heaven is nothing but Hawaii, you know, multiplied 100 times. I go there, I enjoy life, but while I'm waiting, the clock is ticking one by one. And then you are watching Menkas dance, you know, and you are enjoying, and suddenly your karmas are over, half the dance, you are thrown back to the earth, and you say, what happened? I didn't get to finish the dance at least. No, your clock is ticking, clock is over. So the sannyasi, first of all, has no desire. And so that's why he doesn't need to light a fire. Secondly, fire means cooking, as we all know. You know, we don't do rituals, you know, for all this, but we cook. So fire is cooking. And why do we cook? Because, you know, the children need to eat. And we cook according to the children's likes. You say, Mom, I'm tired of eating Indian food today. You know, make some pasta or make some tacos. And you say, no, you have to eat what I say. Otherwise, he'll say, okay, I'll go to eat in my friend's house. You know, next time he won't come home for dinner. So the mom has to cook according to what the husband likes, what the children like, you know, or if they, you know, let's go out to eat, whatever. But a sannyasi does not have a choice. Sannyasi cannot say, tomorrow I want to have Taco Bell, or tomorrow I want to have pizza. He goes for bhiksha. That's why when Swamiji comes, you know, for bhiksha, sometimes they get Gujarati food, sometimes Punjabi food, sometimes South Indian. Whatever comes, they don't choose. They don't have a choice. So sannyasi does not cook out of choice. While you and I, when we cook or when we eat, we do out of choice. So whatever comes to him, he accepts willingly. So that is called the difference between a sannyasi and us, who does not light a fire. That's what Bhagavan Krishna says. Just giving up fire is not enough. You have to give up the desire. Because what happened is, suppose, like I said, this person took sannyas and he put on orange clothes, but inside he has so many desires. I wish I had a big house. I wish I had a family. I wish I had, you know, opposite partner of the opposite sex. Then the desires are still there, but he has given up fire. But as long as the desires are not given up, his sannyas will be incomplete. And desirelessness leads to actionlessness. Na niragni na cha akriya, without giving up. Why? Because all our actions are for desires. So does that mean a sannyasi does not act? No. He acts, but he acts without desire. That is called actionlessness. It's called desirelessness. Where it does not mean that some people do. Some people just sit in the forest and meditate for years. But they actually do a lot of good for us, because the positive energy they radiate, it blesses the entire universe, not only the earth, but all the planets are benefited by a yogi sitting in meditation. So actionlessness means desirelessness. So they work, but as I said, Swami Ishwaranandji's example, or Pujya Gurudeva, he worked from the day he came down from the Himalayas till his last breath. Even when he had only 15% left ventricular ejection fraction, he was still traveling, and people had told him years ago, Swamiji, you need to stay in Bombay and just stay, don't fly all over the world. But he said, if I rest, I rest. If I rest, I rest. And he said, I want to die with my work boots on. And he did. Till the last breath, he was teaching, he was talking. So it says that preparation we have to do. People say, how long should I do preparation? So keep on doing it till finally you are ready for the highest. And you will yourself know. Dhire dhire you will get vairagya, you will get detachment. That these things used to give me joy, they don't give me joy anymore. It's not fun anymore. I want something. How many punarapi jananam punarapi maranam? Shankaracharya ji says, how many lifetimes you will go through again and again and again? You have the Bhagavad Gita in your hand, you have Puja Gurudev's commentary, you have all the teachings of these great saints. Just decide that this is the, and make the right choice. What am I here for? What is my choice? Because in life, we constantly make choices. They talk about Shreya and Preya. Most of us go for prayer. What is fun? What is joy? What is... But make the right choice. That why am I here? I'm here to improve my life. I'm here to become a better individual. I'm here to realize the truth. Because we don't know whether we will get such an opportunity. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, in the beginning of Vivek Chudamani, he says, three things are very rare. One is human birth. Because humans, even though we think we are 7 billion, we are only 0.5% of all the jivas, all the creation, all the beings. So there is only 1 in 200 chance that I could become a human being again. 999 chances are I won't be another human being. So being a human being, number one. Number two, having brain, you know, still functioning, intact. Number two. Number three, having the desire to get this knowledge. That's number three. So it is very rare to get a human birth. And among humans, again, there are some people who have no interest. They don't care. Who's going to waste Sunday morning listening to Bhagavad Gita? You know, let me go play golf. And, you know, that's what they enjoy. And I'm nothing wrong with golf. But the point is that you have limited hours in the day. And are you going to just... you know, spend them. So he says four things are very rare. Human birth, the right understanding, then the desire for liberation. Because many people have a desire, they don't want to liberate, but they don't have contact with a wise person. So don't have the right guru. So we are so blessed. We are here, you know, our understanding is clear. We have the book in front of us. We have the desire to know. And we have Puja Gurudev and all the acharyas who have come over the years and continue to come every month. If the next few months, every month, there will be a teacher coming. In September, we have Swami Ishwarananji. And then October is Diwali and Navratri and all. But in the first week of November, we'll have Imalji. So every month, Neeru is trying to have some teacher or the other, at least 7 or 8 times a year. So we have all this. So he says it will be a shame to waste it because it is so rare to get human birth, have the right understanding, have the desire for liberation, and have contact with Mahatmas. So he says, once you have that, then please do not waste this opportunity. So that is the message. Sorry, we only did one verse. So we'll do the second and third verse tomorrow. But basically, we summarize the 5 chapters. What is the stepwise meditation? And then we talked about what is sannyasi and what is a yogi. Sannyasi does not only mean one who has orange clothes. But Gurudev says sannyas means renunciation of doership. That I am the doer, that is given up because I am the consciousness and the body, mind and intellect work. So that is true sannyas. And that person could be living in a palace like Janak Maharaj, Sitaji's father. He was a great sannyasi, even though he lived in a palace and he slept on silken in a bed and he ate the best food and he wore the best clothes and he's, you know, but he was a sannyasi. Because his mind was always reveling in Brahman. Brahmani charati iti Brahman. That's what a true Brahman is not, does not become by birth or as Gurudev says, the threaded variety, you know, who has choti and a thread. No, that is not Brahman. One whose mind all, yasya Brahmani charate rittam, charate chittam, nandati nandati nand. One whose mind is always reveling in Brahman, he alone enjoys. So that is sannyasi, whose mind is reveling in Brahman. And a yogi is not one who does the yoga asana, but who works without worrying about the fruit. So that is the correct definition of sannyas, is giving up doership, and yogi is work without worrying about what am I going to get out of it. So that is sannyas, not giving up fire and not giving up action. Though, yeah, there are some sannyasis who have given up the world and they are roaming around with orange clothes. But their life should be a life of service. That's what Gurudev said. He said, I want to train spiritual giants. The two-year course that they do in Bombay, they train spiritual masters who come out and they do this and they come out and they become teachers. They get posted to various centers and so. So that is the true definition of sannyas and yoga. Because these two words are often very misunderstood. What is sannyas and what is yoga? So Bhagavan is explaining that, and then eventually he will come to meditation. So we have about 10 minutes. Any questions, any comments?
On September 2nd is Ganesha's birthday. They want to have yagnas here to celebrate.
Yes, September 8th, actually the next weekend will be regular weekend. This coming Saturday, we are celebrating Janmashtami here at the mission, Saturday evening, 6 p.m. onwards. We'll have bhajans by the children, Swaranjali group that Shilpi Banerjee teaches. There'll be puja, and then there'll be dinner. So that is being organized. And they may have matki ford, I'm not sure. Naina is in charge. They have matki ford also, Naina. So the children will break the matki. So Naina Patel and Varsha Ben and all are working on it. So that is on Saturday. Next Sunday will be a regular class here in the morning, 11 o'clock. Then the weekend after that is the Labor Day weekend. September 1st is Labor Day weekend, so there won't be Bal Vihar. And September 8th, we are celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi. And that will be half a class. We'll only do one shloka here for half an hour, and then we'll go into the hall and do the Ganesh Puja, and then they will do the Visarjan. I think the children are making Ganeshas, and then they will be doing the Visarjan. So I think that will be the week after that. This next week is a regular class, then first is a holiday, and 8th will be half a class till 11 to around 11:30 or 11 or so, half an hour, and then we'll go into the hall. So that is the 3 weeks here. Thank you for mentioning that.
So we do yajnas to
remove obstacles. Yes, Ganesh Ji is, we worship. That's why I have Ganesh Ji here, so that there may be no obstacles in my class. At least my brain should function. And then Saraswati we have, Mother Saraswati. So the idea is that remover of obstacles and the right knowledge, so that what I may speak, hopefully there won't be too many errors, maybe few but not many. So Ganesh Ji is the remover of obstacles. So when we pray to him, that's why every action we start, that's why every prayer, even if you're praying to Lord Krishna or Shiva or anybody, you first do Ganesh Puja. When you start construction of a new house, you do Ganesh Puja. When you start your day, you say, may, O Lord, may there be no obstacles. And then you can pray to whoever your Ishta Devta is. But yeah, Ganesh Ji is always worshipped first because he removes obstacles. When you start a new building or a factory or an office, yeah, that's why he's called Vignaharan, the remover of obstacles.
We have to register for that?
No. No, you're just welcome to just attend and, yeah. No, you don't have to register. That will be, we'll do a half an hour class and then go to the hall, we'll do Ganesh Puja and then have lunch. Yeah, no, there's no registration required. But there will be a class. Any questions about what we have talked about today? Anybody wants to add anything about karma phala, karma yoga, anything else?
One thing I'd like to say.
Sure.
Is we human beings, those who have not reached that wisdom, we work for happiness.
Right.
Whereas the sannyasi works out of happiness.
True.
That's so. He's not seeking anything, not even happiness. It just works out of happiness.
Right.
So that should be our goal, is to become that. When you think of sannyasi.
Right. Very good point. Yeah, we should become a source of happiness for others instead of asking others to give us happiness. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Gita is for everybody. That when I am faced with that kind of a situation, It does not mean that you, if you lose your child or somebody else loses a child, one should not cry. But one should not think that is the end of my life. You know, yes, it is sad that the child is gone, but everybody comes with a particular lifespan based on their actions, based on their prarabdha. And a child who dies, you know, within 6 minutes of being born, or 6 hours, or 6 years, or 60 years. So whatever life is based on my previous karmas and my prarabdha. And when that ends, the individual goes, the mind and intellect, the subtle body leaves. And so once you have this knowledge, then you don't think it is the end of the world. Of course, it is sad, you know, I mean, for you to lose a child. But he had a higher duty, that was to continue his mission. And he had been created on earth to remove evil. That was Arjuna's purpose. And that's what Krishna reminds him of. His crying may be symbolic. I haven't heard that Krishna cried. I think what it meant was that he said that, is this what I have taught you? So that it is symbolic, saying that your purpose in life is something greater. Yes, your child died and you know you feel sad, but then he got up after Krishna and he said, tomorrow I'll destroy the Jarasandha, the one who blocked. Remember, all the soldiers were following Abhimanyu to go into the Chakravyu, and Jarasandha blocked them, and so none of them would go. He said, by tomorrow evening, if Jarasandha is not dead, I'll burn myself in the fire. And then Krishna helps him to find Jarasandha and destroy him. So the point was that he then took whatever action was required, and he did it because of the right wisdom. So you feel sorrow, but then life has to go on. You can't just say, okay, I'm, you know. And I mean, sorrows come to everybody, and death comes to in everybody's home. You know, last year I lost both my parents, but you know, they were in the 90s and they were ready to go. So I, you know, welcomed it. I wasn't, you know, I mean, of course you miss your parents. I have their picture in my house. But you don't cry and, you know, ruin yourself. It's okay. They were in the 90s. Death is a blessing. You know, it's good they went. You know, that's all. So I told my sister, don't take them to the hospital. You know, let my mother go. Because she was not eating. So the point is that death comes to everybody. But how do you accept death? That is what the message of the Bhagavad Gita is. That don't sit down and keep crying and say, you know, my life is over. It's okay, parents will go sometime. One, we will go too. You're not going to live forever, you know, 80, 90, you know, when? We don't know. Maybe tomorrow. So one has to be ready. You have to have your bags packed. Shankaracharya ji says, Nalani dalagata jalamati tarlam tatvat jivitam atishay chaplam. He says, just as a dewdrop is on the lotus leaf, when you wake up in the morning, there's a dewdrop. Now, how long does it take the dewdrop to slip from the lotus leaf and fall into the water? Few seconds, right? That's how much your life is. You don't know when the dewdrop will fall. When, you know, I go out and I get hit by a drunk driver. We don't know. Thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukha Bhagave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Rupyam, Hari Om.